The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Good morning and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show. My name is Jim Salnier and you are listening to KFKA right out of Greeley, Colorado. It's a little after 8, about 8:05 according to the official KFKA clock here on August 8th. We are live this morning and you're used to hearing Chris Stein. Welcome everyone. Chris is not with us this morning. He is recuperating after a week vacation with his family. I don't know if it was his... It was probably fun, Pete, I would say.
I'm sure it was. But also very challenging with the number of kids he had.
Yes, he has six kids. So he drove cross-country with his wife and six kids, and he did all the driving. So I think you can understand why he's not here today. He is sleeping or unwinding or doing both. But he can't make it with us today, but I am here in the studio with Peter Scott Esquire, or His Majesty, as we like to call him.
Yes. I'm thinking about changing that to Eminence. I heard
Eminence?
That. His Eminence. I think that would be good. Yes.
But Pete is an estate planning attorney and author. He's written a few books on estate planning, and I feel honored to have him on the show. And he has an office right here in Greeley, as well as Fort Collins, and I think the North Metro area or somewhere?
Denver. Which I really don't care to go to, but will when I want to meet someone there. But downtown Denver is not my favorite spot to navigate.
The traffic now on I-25 is just ridiculous.
It is. It's just terrible.
It's not getting any better.
No.
But I always thought the traffic in Boston, where I'm from, people who are new to this show will notice a decidedly Bostonian accent at times. But I thought the traffic in Boston was bad. But at least we had the T, and we could take the train.
Oh, okay.
And we could take the train into – when I studied financial planning at Boston University, it would have taken me hours to drive in there. Instead, I would take the train. I would drive about 20 minutes to the train station and take an actual train. The train would actually take me from where I lived right to the main Green Line station in Boston. And then with the same fare you pay to take the train, you could then jump on the subway and go pretty much anywhere in the city you want.
Wow.
So it was really good. You don't have that out here. So everybody is stuck on I-25 and it stinks.
It does. You spend a lot of time there. And I do, going to Denver when I do.
It is bad. But anyways, we are live today, so we are taking listeners' questions. You're welcome to call us. The phone number is 877-353-1310. Thank you, Micah. Micah is the engineer today, so he's going to be directing me. Those who listen to the show on a regular basis know last time I tried to run the show, I think I muffed up more times than anything.
Well, you do need adult supervision in
I
most things.
But we are live, and we're going to encourage you to call for a couple of reasons. First of all, it gets very boring doing a live show if nobody calls.
True.
And that's one of the reasons we like to be on KFKA and not any other station. KFKA gives us the ability to be live and local, and nothing beats a live call-in show. That's the first reason. The second reason, we're actually going to be doing a little bit of trivia again today, and listeners love trivia, and it doesn't make for a good live show, Pete, if we ask questions and no one calls in with the answers.
Yeah, since we have the answer key, it makes it a little difficult to have an exciting and stimulating show unless
people call in. So we are going to encourage people to call in for that reason as well. And the final reason, your name will be entered into a drawing to win a free Fat Albert's pie at the end of the month.
Very good.
And that'll be right before Labor Day.
And do we have any other prizes, or is that the
drawing? Well, no. Everybody who calls – now, here are the rules. Only the people who call with the right answer get entered into the drawing for a Fat Albert's pie. Or anybody who calls with any type of retirement IRA estate planning question, they'll get entered into the pie drawing as well.
Okay.
But people who call and guess wrong, we don't want to, you know, bum them out.
Yep.
So we give them a free spray from the Mosquito Authority, or free treatment, I think they call it. And you've started using the Mosquito Authority.
I did. I did it one time, and it worked so well. My wife was very skeptical and kind of chortled when I suggested to her we were going to do that.
And that was for a wedding you were doing outside?
We were doing it for a wedding shower.
Wedding shower.
And she was so impressed as we were sitting outside in the weeks that followed with nary a mosquito anywhere. And so we signed up for the full summer, and it has been marvelous. I think in the, it must have been eight weeks now, we've had one bug that was bothering us, and they didn't last very long. So it really does work, and it's amazing. And it's been very, very pleasant to be outside in the evenings.
Yes, I use them in Berthoud, and I've been using them for a few years now. And early in the season, before they come, and the mosquitoes are just getting up and active, I can't be outside after dusk. Berthoud, I think, is where every mosquito in Colorado was born before migrating somewhere. So the mosquitoes are really bad. But now I can be outside working in the garden, and it's fine. But anyways, anybody who calls, anyone who calls with a guess, whether the guess is right or wrong, you will win a coupon. We will mail you a coupon. So you have to give Micah your contact information, your name and address, so we can actually physically mail you the coupon. And the coupon, I believe, is good for one free service. So that's a good thing. I think he limits the size. I mean, like the city of Greeley can't call and have one of their pox done. But I think he limits the size to a quarter acre. I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for him. But it's all written there on the free service. So if you have like 10 acres, he's not going to spray all 10. I think he limits to the area around your home.
It does. We're just having our backyard sprayed. So
yeah. And that's the same thing I do. Yeah. And I don't have him do the whole acreage that I have in Berthoud, just the area that I'm in with my garden and home. Okay, so that is kind of how the rules are going to work. But today's trivia show, listeners, is unique in the sense it's solely about estate planning. Pete has been with us for since March.
Yeah.
So almost 6 months now. Seems like 6 years, but it's been a pleasure to have you on. And people starting to get to know you, Pete. They're starting to get to know that you're adding another dimension to the show on estate planning topics. And we mention all the time to our listeners, estate planning is not tax avoidance, because essentially there is no estate tax anymore except for the uber, uber wealthy.
Correct.
Estate planning has more to do with making sure your assets go to who you want when you want, and people who you want to take care of you should you become incapacitated are in position to take care of you. That's estate planning. It really needs to – they need to update the name, because it still has this connotation of estate, and everybody thinks of these, you know, brick-lined mansions in Beverly Hills or somewhere, and those are the people who need estate planning. Absolutely not. And it's geared for everyday Americans. It's geared for you, it's geared for me, and it's designed to help put in place a plan while you can to take care of you, or at your passing, to make sure who you want gets what you want when you want.
And it's really about control. That is, controlling your assets in your life, not only while you're alive and well, which you clearly are capable of doing at that point, but also if you do have a mental incapacity, not a physical, a broken arm or leg or something, but it's where you lack the mental capacity because of illness, age, accident, whatever it might be, you obviously are not going to be able to be in control then. But if you've done the planning in advance, you have put in writing what you want to happen and who's going to make the decisions and what decisions you want to have made. So effectively, if you find yourself incapacitated mentally, you have that control by having these plans in place. And then following your death, where do things go? How do they go there? And what's the most cost-effective way to get it to the people you want the way that you want?
Excellent. So we are going to have the trivia show today. And, of course, we're going to do the top three songs in America over the past 40 years as we lead into what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And with that in mind, I'm going to hit you and Micah, so hopefully he's paying attention. We have an email question. I totally forgot.
Oh, okay, good.
And it has to do with Social Security, and I want to get it done first. And, right. of course, we always call everyone George.
Right.
So I don't know if Micah knows. He's not looking at me. Yeah. No, he is. Do you have a little George soundbite?
Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
Okay, I love doing that. We call everyone George. This gentleman left his real name, and I do want to apologize to him. He sent this email last Saturday, and I haven't responded yet. Chris has been out of the office. We've had some of our admins leave and new admins come on. It's just been, very hectic in the office. But I do want to address this question because it kind of has to do with our top three songs. And it added a little bit of confusion to him.
Huh?
Not in the sense that he doesn't get the songs. That was another listener who wants us to get out of the 70s.
It's going to be another 5 years, unfortunately.
Well, no, we're working on addressing that. Chris has an idea to get out of the 70s and appease everybody.
Okay.
But he's not here today to talk about that. So he begins with, I listen to your show via podcast as I mow the grass each week in Pennsylvania. He listed a city. I'm going to keep it private for him. So here we have a grass mower from Pennsylvania. Okay.
Okay.
I enjoy it very much. My question is this. I know that Social Security uses the 35 highest inflation-factored years to determine a worker's Social Security payment. But I'm confused about the past 40 years that you talk about. This is where the songs are confusing him. Does this mean the Social Security calculation does not take into account earnings from 41 or more years ago? And then he goes on to explain, because it's a very long email, he put a Excel spreadsheet together, Pete, he wrote, where he put all his earnings in so far. And he told me he's 52 years old, so he's young.
Relatively, yes. Relatively. Much younger than he was when I was 40.
So he's 52 years old. He put an Excel spreadsheet together, and he found that the highest earning year he has ever had so far was when he was 29.
Oh.
Because remember, people, what Social Security does is they don't look at the actual dollar amount you earned. They will adjust your earnings for wage inflation. So his Excel spreadsheet had wage inflation built into it. He put his earnings in, inflated them for wage inflation, and found his highest earning year was when he was 29. He wrote, I am now 52, but don't plan to file for benefits until I'm 70. And simple math says that's more than 41 years previous to age 70. Right. So will he lose those high earnings? And then he wrote, thanks, I enjoy your show. And he signed it his real name, but we have called him
George. He didn't say anything about his favorite radio host or anything.
No, but you can clearly read through the lines. He was talking about me. He thinks I'm wonderful. Perhaps not so much now because I haven't gotten a hold of him yet, but I wanted to address his question first. Okay, George from Pennsylvania, hopefully you are mowing the grass as we're talking about this. Do not worry. We look back 40 years for one simple reason. I love 70s music, and I wanted to somehow keep us in the 70s. We look back 40 years merely for that reason. And I had to find a way to tie 1970s music into Social Security, which was hard for me to do until you understand when Social Security was first started in the 30s, nobody paid into it. It didn't exist. And you could get benefits after paying into it just for a few years, for life. So they had to come up with a calculation, and the calculation involved what they called 40 elapsed years. Through that number of 40 elapsed years, they came up with 35 computation years, the 35 years that he refers to, the 35 years of highest earnings. But it began with 40 elapsed years, and they would look at 40 years originally, not anymore. But because 40 years ago from 2015 puts us in 1975, and I can play the top three songs from 1975, I kind of fixated on that little obscure thing with Social Security nearly 80 years ago.
Which they no longer use the 40 years.
No, they no longer use it.
They're
using 35 computation years.
Regardless of whether it's 50 years of work history, it's still the 35 highest years.
Absolutely. So George in your in Pennsylvania, almost said where he lived. George in Pennsylvania, mowing your grass today. Hopefully you're hearing this, and we are going to reach out to you. We're going to send you an email. But do not worry. The earnings you earn at age 29 will apply. They will look back, even, and we've talked on this show, what if you were a diaper model as a one-year-old and you got paid the equivalent of $100,000 to sit there in a diaper and be photographed? And that was one of your highest earning years ever. They will include it.
And if he applies at 70, they'll go back to age one.
And inflate it.
Yep, and use that as one of the highest 35.
Exactly.
Got it.
So it does not matter to our Pennsylvania listeners and to our local listeners. And because of that, Chris and I have been talking, and he's right. It's not just the listener who said, well, you guys get out of the 70s and start showing some other music. I think as I keep talking about 40 computation years, it's confusing people, and I don't want to confuse people.
But if we go back 35 years, then you're going to be out of the 70s.
I will be in the 1980s. Yeah. So Chris came up with a brilliant solution. He wants to do the – instead of the – and the whole reason, listeners, why we do these songs is music makes us reminisce. Music makes us think of a time long ago. I can still hear certain songs, and to this day, I think of myself growing up in the 60s and the 70s, and of course being a young adult in the 80s when I hear certain dance style music. I remember going out with my friends to Newport and Boston. It makes us think back. And the reason we want to do that as we lead into what's new on Helping My Social Security is to get people to understand retirement, yeah, it's a time of reflection. We are no longer working. We're entering another phase of our lives. And we generally reminisce positively about our past.
Sure.
And I'm just trying to get people to think of that. And music is a wonderful way of doing it. So I think it's nice what I'm trying to do. I just don't mean to confuse people, but I think I am. So Chris said, why don't we look back 80 years ago, number one song when Social Security was first created.
Because it's the 80th anniversary.
Correct.
This is the birth year of
Social Security.
80 years ago, yeah.
40 years ago, in honor of my 70s music, and 35 years ago, which brings us to 1980, and we can do the number one song from 80, 40, and 35.
There
so I kind of like that. And that's what he's working on. He ran into, of course, this vacation he's been on, but also trying to get a list of the songs 80 years ago and the actual song.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if we get the lyrics, Pete will just sing it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And then no one will guess what it is.
But I think that would be – I'm a history buff, so I would like to hear what people listened to 80 years ago.
Well,
I think that would be pretty neat.
Hearing some of that music, I like that music. I think it's just – of course, I heard a lot of it growing up too. So it takes me back to the emotional response that you were talking about. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I really like that.
So that's what we're going to try doing. But I did want to address that for our local listeners and for this gentleman in Pennsylvania, that do not worry. Just because I'm fixating on this 40 years, it's solely so I can do the number 3, 2, and 1 song 40 years ago when I was growing up in the 70s. But it has nothing to do with the calculation today.
Good.
Today, they look at 35 computation years. In the 1930s, they looked at 40 elapsed years. Totally different calculation, but it was because when Social Security first started, nobody paid into it. So how are they going to figure out benefits? They had to come up with a unique way of doing it, and that's how they did it.
Well, and I suspect the first 40 years, that all worked just fine. But then when they get to year 41, 42, 43, that's when they had to make the switch.
Yes, beginning in the 1950s is when the switch was permanent to 35 computation years.
Yep.
Okay. 35 elapsed years, computation years. I get confused. 40 elapsed years, 35 computation years.
Got it.
Okay, so that was an email question we had got. As I said, I do apologize to that gentleman. He sent it to us just about 1 week ago now, actually 8 days ago if you want to be exact. And I will reach out to him or Chris will reach out to him and answer that directly. So that said, we do have songs this week. This week is still the old way of doing things, the number 3, 2, and 1 song 40 years ago this week. I will give a little hint. The number 3 song is Brandy New.
Brandy New?
Brandy New. And that wasn't a hint because there is a song, Brandy, that
that's,
I love.
That's
right.
What I was going
oh,
for.
Oh, you
yeah.
thought,
yeah.
Oh, okay. No. That would have been pretty good. But the singer of the number 3 song, first of all, I think is quite hot.
Well, I know who that is. You're Jim's girlfriend.
In his dreams, three, when he was growing up in the 70s.
It's a group of 3, correct? 3 people there?
3?
Yeah. But the name of the singer being?
Oh, yes. Yes, the singer has 3 parts to her name, and she's quite attractive. But she is singing the number 3 song. The number 2 song is a repeat, and the number 1 song is a repeat. And the number 1 singer and the number 3 singer were born in the same country, and it wasn't in the United States.
Oh.
So there's a ton of hints right there.
My gosh. Well, then I think I know everything except the name of the song.
You do. Okay, so we'll get to that, and we're also going to get listeners, so get ready to call now. We are going to play estate planning trivia. We need to come up with a more exciting sound than estate planning trivia, Pete. Are you smarter than?
Well, you had suggested an old guy earlier.
The reason I said that is he got these questions predominantly from AARP.
Well, AARP, CNN Money, and then a couple of other sites that were out there. So I pulled them in. So this is not just all from one source. But
okay.
So these are kind of general questions, some of which I found interesting, some of which are easier than others, as most of them are. So we may start out with
an easy one. And let's start off with question 2 because nobody wants to be the first caller.
Okay.
So we'll skip the first.
Okay.
Go
so
right
pretend
to
like
2.
We did that.
Exactly.
Someone called on that first one, got it right, so we're on
right.
a roll.
We're on to number 2
okay.
now. That way we got the juices flowing.
That's right.
Now, listeners, I know you're out there, so get ready to call in. It is 970-353-1310. Or those of you who might be listening off the web and you're long distance and you still have to pay for it because you don't have a calling plan, send the dime to KFKA and just dial 877-353-1310. Now, Pete's going to ask the question. He's going to give you a list of 3 or 4 answers. This is all multiple guess.
Yep.
And then people are going to call. Anyone who calls will get a free spray for mosquitoes.
Yes.
Free treatment.
Treatment
is what they call it. So if you have mosquitoes, I know the summer's winding down, but if you still got those buzzing little bugs and they're bugging you, then just give us a call. We'll end up mailing you out a free certificate. You can get a hold of Mosquito Authority. They'll come treat your house, and you'll be good to go.
Yep.
And anyone who guesses the answer, your name will be put into a drawing to give away a Fat Albert's pie the end of this month. And that pie can be used for
eating?
Well, yes, you're going to eat it, but I meant Labor Day, because Labor Day is late this year.
It is, 7th.
So you can, if you win at the end of August, get down to Fat Albert's real fast and get your free pie, and you can munch down on it over Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that would be
nothing
nice.
Any better than that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your mosquitoes would have been sprayed as well, so you can eat it outside without bugs.
That's right.
Nothing any better than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pete, what is the first estate planning question as we play, Are You Smarter Than an Estate Planner?
There we go. Actually, this is the second question because we already
did the first question.
Yeah. So the second question, and I think it should be relatively easy, especially based on what we've been talking about. So when does your estate plan take effect? And the 3 choices are upon death or incapacitation, only upon death is the second one, and the third one, whenever you want it to. So let me read the 3 answers again. Upon death or incapacitation, or only upon your death, or whenever you want it to. The question being, when does your estate planning or plan take effect?
Okay, that's a fairly simple question. You have 3 answers, so you have a 1/3 chance of getting it right, listeners.
Yep.
And we need people to call 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Once again, when does your estate plan take effect? A, upon death. B, upon death or incapacitation, or C, whenever you want it to.
Very good.
When does your estate plan take effect?
So it should be easy based on what we've been talking about. So,
hopefully.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how attentive our listeners are, if we have any.
It doesn't look like anybody wants to play with you.
Yeah, I guess not. Oh, well.
It's okay. Give them a chance.
Yeah, we will. So they're probably Googling that at the moment, so which has all the answers to everything.
Or maybe we're not broadcasting and we just think we are.
Well, it could be, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll wait for that a little bit. So anything new going on with the retirement planning area? Any programs coming on? Something that might be of interest or maybe just a question that you got during the week? I'll tell you one that I'm dealing with right now, which is kind of interesting, and it's not strictly estate planning, but it has to do with divorce. Something
you're getting a divorce?
No. This has to do with the estate plan as it impacts divorce. So a couple put together a revocable living trust. That was their estate plan. They each set up their own revocable living trust, a second marriage for them. They put the their assets into each of their separate trusts, some of it separate property, some of it property they acquired during their 20-some-odd-year marriage. So this was not a new marriage. And because they had children from their separate marriages, they wanted to treat the children equally. And that's fairly common in longer-term second marriages. And so the wife had, I think, two children, and the husband had one child. And in their plans, they said that after both of them were gone, they would divide that equally among the three. What they also put into the plan was that the trusts were irrevocable and not revocable. So it made the trust. And the purpose behind that is after the first death, the survivor couldn't change their plan to disinherit the decedent's children. And that's a fairly common concern. And so they put this together, so the trusts were irrevocable. Now they're embroiled in this divorce.
Ooh.
And the question that the court is going to have to decide ultimately, what's the impact of an irrevocable trust? Is that available for division if, say, the court decided they wanted to put all their assets into one bucket and, say, 50-50 between the two of them? Well, the husband has, let's just say, two-thirds of the assets because he came into the marriage. He had a little bit more money. Wife had a little less. And so she has one-third in hers, and so does the court have the ability with these irrevocable trusts to – and it's by agreement between the two of them, they're reciprocal. Does the court have the ability to say, no, we're going to ignore all of that, and we're going to divide it equally between the two of them? And then if the court says that, then how does that happen with an irrevocable trust, at least during that period? What the trust also provides is upon the entry of a final divorce decree – then that irrevocability goes away and they can do what they want with it.
Well, that was a mouthful.
Yes, it was.
So, but we do have a couple of callers trying to guess your question. And the first caller is Sue in Greeley. Sue, are you still there? Can you hear us?
I'm still here.
Perfect. So you got to hear Pete talk about a new court case coming down. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
But I'm going to repeat the question since Pete took a little bit of time explaining this upcoming court case. So I'm going to repeat the question, Sue. I'm going to give you your three guesses, and then you're going to try guessing, okay?
Okay.
Okay. When does your estate plan take effect? A, upon death or incapacitation. B, did I put them in the right order, Pete?
It doesn't. Go ahead with it.
Okay.
You don't have to be in the right order.
B, upon death only. Or C, whenever you want it to.
B, death only.
Nope, that's not it. That's what.
Really?
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit earlier in the intro to the show, and about that a lot of people think that estate planning is for death only. So we've got another caller. Do we have time to take that call?
Well, Mike is not looking at me, so I guess so. He's not doing anything. Do we have time for another call, Mike? Yep, he's giving me the thumb up.
Okay,
I think
perfect.
Sue, thank you for calling. Sorry you didn't guess it correctly.
But did you get your information to Micah for the?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, very good.
He's giving
us
a thumbs
up again.
Thank you for calling, Sue. So now we have a Rick in Greeley. Rick, are you there with us this morning?
I am.
Good. Now your answers are getting a little easier. Now you're down to just two.
Yeah, you don't need to say it. It's whenever you want it to.
Oh no.
Oh.
So let's
So
let's spend a little time on that because obviously, do we have a third caller that wants
no.
to?
No.
Okay.
Well, the third caller is going to ace this one.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So really, when we were talking about on the intro to the show, the estate planning covers both the death and incapacitation prior to death. And that's where when we talk about an estate plan, a will is what takes effect at death and says where your assets go and how they go to the people that you want. And then there are powers of attorney that are part of the estate plan that deal with a period of time when there's mental incapacitation. So there's a financial power of attorney that deals with paying your bills, collecting money that's owed to you, taking care of your stuff, that sort of thing from the financial aspect. And then there's the healthcare power of attorney to appoint someone that's going to be able to make your medical decisions for you when you can't make them for yourself.
But technically, I'm going to stick up for Rick here.
Okay.
Because technically, couldn't that still be whenever you want? When, if Rick is going to put an estate plan together and grant someone power of attorney for property, power of attorney for health care, those documents take effect as soon as he signs them. So wouldn't it technically be whenever he wants? He's not incapacitated yet,
right,
but he put the documents in place to help him if he were to pass away or become incapacitated. So therefore, it's whenever he wants.
Rick, you have a very accomplished advocate on your side here. Are you still there? No, I guess we lost
See,
Rick.
See, you upset Rick and he
I
hung
did.
Up on you.
So we probably won't get any more callers now. But, but your point is well taken. And with the healthcare power of attorney, no, because you still have, you can't really delegate your ability to make your own healthcare decisions when you have capacity. However,
but you put in place the plan.
Put it now, yes.
However, now, in case something happens.
Right. And so then for the financial, yes, of course you can. You can delegate that. For example, we see this more frequently. If someone is purchasing a property or selling property and they can't go to closing, then you can appoint someone under a power of attorney to go to closing for you and sign the documents.
Okay.
So
well, Rick,
I'm going to give it to him. Okay.
Rick,
very
I'm going to give it to you because I advocated for you and I won. So
the host won. How unusual.
So we're going to write your name down, Rick, even though you hung up in disgust at Pete. I am going to write your name down as a potential pie draw winner. So when we auction off – not auction, but pick a pie winner at the end of this month, Rick's name will be on there. Okay, Micah, do we have to take a commercial break? We do. So he's giving me the thumbs up. So when we leave or when we come back, we're going to come with the number three song in America 40 years ago this week. Now, if people listen to this, they're going to get it. Number one, the singer is hot, and I really had a crush on her growing up. But number two,
yes,
she's from Australia.
Yes.
And number three, the lyrics of the number three song this week ask a cowboy not to play song B-17 on the jukebox.
Oh,
I know we have a lot of cowboys who listen to this show, Bean Greeley.
Yes.
So the number three song in America asked a cowboy not to play song B-17.
So are we guessing B-17 or the song that asked him not to play B-17?
Oh, you're confusing the hell out of me. We're just going to try to guess the singer and the song.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That was the number three song in America 40 years ago this week. In a moment, I'm going to ask our oh-so-humble co-host to see if he can guess the singer and the song. We do this as we lean into what's new on Help with MySocialSecurity.com. Once again, the three hints that I provided. The singer of this song is pretty darn hot. I can give her that much. Number two, she's from Australia. And number three, if we played it long enough, you would have heard a lyric.
Easy for you to say.
Where she would have asked a cowboy not to play song B-17. I don't know why. I'm going to have to listen to the song now and figure out what is so up with B-17. But care to guess? I know it's going to be hard. Who the singer was?
I think, you know, just knowing your
preference in women.
preference in women. Prior declaration with another song that she sang. It's got to be Olivia Newton-John.
Yes. Could you dispute that she's hot?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
I cannot.
So Olivia Newton-John, she is from Australia.
Right. That's correct.
What is the name of the song?
I do not have a clue.
Neither did I. apparently, it's called Please, Mr. Please.
Oh, that's a toe tapper.
Yeah. Please, yeah. Mr. Please. Yeah, okay. But now I'm going to have to get onto my iTunes account and listen to the whole song and figure out what is up with song B-17.
Okay. Good. You can report back next
week. I will report back to us. Okay. But anyways, that is Please, Mr. Please, the number 3 song in America 40 years ago this week. We're going to lead in the next segment with the number 2 song in America, which is a repeat. I will give that a little bit of a hint, and we will hear that next. But on the line now, waiting for your oh-so-humble apology once again, is Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
You had a very strong and eloquent advocate on your side that won the day for you, so you're in the pie drawing, so congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But I have called before. Yeah. I call on the cabin niece.
Oh, you're the guy with the cabin.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Okay, yes.
Yes, you have referred to me from time to time.
Yes, we
have. Yes, we do.
Yeah,
always with due respect.
Well, and I know that. That's why I called to give you the opportunity to say that on the air.
There we go. Well, Rick, your advocate, although I'm sure you would have been as eloquent in arguing your position had he given you a chance at that. But nonetheless, you're in the pie drawing, and I have to agree with Jim that question will be stricken from the rolls. Are you smarter than an old guy? Just to make sure that we don't have that confusion, because his point was well taken, as I'm sure yours would be. So,
yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Did you have any question for Pete while you had him on the phone? Well, you don't have to.
Well, I know, and I probably have 100 of them, but I wasn't thinking about them.
I wasn't thinking about
asking a question. I was just thinking about accepting an apology. So.
My humble apology.
Yeah. And it is accepted. So.
Okay, okay. Very good.
But I'm glad that you talked about it, because I said that's wrong. So. Anyway, thank you so very much.
No problem. Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Rick.
And that's the whole idea of doing this trivia show. We do want to talk about it. We just don't want to ask the questions and move on to the next one. We want to take time to then explain the answer. And in this particular case, why Rick was probably more right than wrong.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I hate when I take tests. I sometimes will have to take a test. And every 3 years, the government retests me, and I have to go in and take all these questions pertaining to financial planning. And you don't have the ability at that point to question the government. First of all, they don't like to be questioned. They're the government. But I'm telling you, Pete, there are some questions, and I've been doing this 16 years. I'll look at the 3 or 4 answers that they give me to choose from, and none of them are right. Or right. 2 of them or 3 of them could be right, depending on so many if, ands, and buts.
Right. So then there's exceptions to everything. So when you look at this, very often the challenge when you're taking the exam for recertification is, you know, yes, that's correct, but there's this exception, that exception,
right,
that exception. And sometimes you just – and the problem with it is you kind of have to dumb down your answer.
You have to.
Because you know too much.
If you – exactly. If you question everything on it, you're going to get yourself into more trouble.
So let me just go back to Rick with that, is that the financial power of attorney, which can take effect right now, or – it can take effect only when you become incapacitated, and that's the choice when you're putting it together. And the one that takes effect when you become incapacitated is called a springing power of attorney. That means it springs into life upon incapacitation. So that the activation of it would be delayed, but very often they're done where they're effective today when you sign it. So they're effective immediately. So Rick was right in that regard, in that it's whatever he puts in the document.
Exactly. So whenever he does it. Okay. Very good, Rick. We're going to get to another question. And remember, listeners, you have to call in. And we're very fun about it. So if you're wrong, I will come to your defense, if at all possible, and make you right, as I did in Rick's case. But if you are wrong, you still will get a free little coupon for a free treatment from the Mosquito Authority. If you are right, like Rick was, you will have your name entered in a drawing for a free Fat Albert's pie the end of this month, which would be the end of August, just in time for Labor Day in September. Once again, our phone number here is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. And Pete, what is the second question on Are You Smarter Than an Old Guy?
Okay, so this one deals with a will. So in addition to the distribution of your assets, which a will does provide, what else is a good use for a will? Or what else, other provision?
What else can you do with a will?
Right.
Besides give away your stuff?
Right. And so potential answer is appointing guardians for your young children if they're underage. B, choosing a healthcare proxy or healthcare agent. C, summarizing your life philosophy.
Mm.
So,
what is another use of a will?
Yes. So,
naming guardianship for your children?
Right. Choosing a healthcare representative or agent.
Healthcare agent.
Or summarizing your life philosophy.
What is another use for a will? So, those are your three choices, people. Guardianship for your minor children. Naming an agent as a healthcare proxy, or summarizing your life's philosophy. What else can you do with the will besides pass your assets on? That was the number one.
Right, and that's right. Given. That's usually what most people think of a will is just who gets my stuff. And very often when people are looking at that, and I encounter this frequently, is the people come into the office wanting to prepare a will or trust. It doesn't really matter because it's a in that context, it's just who it's going to go to. But very often they think everything goes outright. Just boom, here it is. It's yours. And most of the time, though, after some education, the folks decide that maybe they want to give the assets to their children. Let's just use that example. It can be anybody. In a way where the children would have full access to it, but no one else could take it away from them, such as if one of the kids goes through a divorce, they have an auto accident, and the judgment against them, if it was their fault, exceeds their insurance coverage. Or maybe they have some other creditors out there that are trying to collect on debts that they owe. So sometimes we can protect that by the way we give our property to our children as opposed to just giving it to them.
Right. And we do have a call. Mike is getting the caller's information entered. So while that's coming, let me ask you something, because everybody hears of a will and you might all be thinking what I'm thinking right now. And we remember the TV shows where the family members are in the attorney's office and he or she starts reading the will to them.
Yes.
To let them know what they're going to get. Is that how it's really done?
In 40 years plus years of doing this, I've never had a formal will reading.
Okay, so that was more of a Hollywoodization of the passing of assets through a will.
Yeah, certainly it is, and I don't really know. Maybe there's someone in the old days, maybe they did, but when we have someone who's a beneficiary and they say, well, what do I get? We just send them a copy of the will. The will is public record. Once it's recorded with the court. That's why we have Jackie Onassis' will.
Right. Elvis's. We know what they did with it because it's all public record.
We have Steve Jobs' will.
Right. So Steve Jobs just says it all goes to a trust.
Yeah. Yeah. So that doesn't tell us a whole lot.
No.
But the others do. In fact, I know the attorney that did Jackie Onassis' will, and I'm kind of surprised that he did a will, but knowing his ego, I think he wanted everybody out there to know how clever he was in
okay.
the planning.
So. Okay. Well, we do have someone ready to take a gander and a guess, or gander guess. Tom in Greeley. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing great, Tom. Now, you're going to have a guess. I'm going to reread the question to you, and then you can give Pete your answer, okay? What is another use for a will? Naming guardianship of your minor children, putting together a healthcare proxy, or summarizing your life's philosophy. What is another use for a will?
I think number A, letter A.
Pointing guardians?
Yes.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, that's really, there we go. We got the
Lousy sound effects.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, and that's where the guardians get appointed typically when someone dies. It's mentioned in the will. One thing I'll say, and this is a little upsetting to people if they don't understand it, what you're doing with that is you're nominating the people to be appointed to take care of your children, to be appointed guardian. They then have the legal authority as a parent to make decisions and to control the child. Now, that doesn't cover the money, which is a different process, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the nomination means that the court does not necessarily have to appoint the people you've nominated as the guardian. Now, I've never had a court not appoint the people nominated. But if – and the reason for that is that the court has to be aware and cognizant of the best interest of the child. So if someone that you had named in your will – and let's say the will was old, 10, 15 years old, which is not uncommon – that person that you named is now being released from jail as a child molester. Now, the court is not going to name them as the guardian, even though you've nominated them. So the court always reserves the right to make that decision somewhat independent, but they do look at what the family has decided and try to follow what the decedent had put in their will, and if at all possible, and in the best interest of the child. But, Tom, congratulations. You're smarter than an old guy.
Thanks.
Very good, Tom. And write Tom's name down, and you got to keep the other name in there too.
Oh, you want you boy, you're just an advocate for Rick all along.
Well, I'm not doing that. So we're going to take a photo of that.
Oh,
after,
I see.
Because
okay.
We need those names at the end of the month.
Okay.
So you got to keep them. Don't you scratch Rick? I'm sticking up for you again. He scratched your name off his list. I don't know why he's doodling.
Well, I scratched it off because I didn't want to call Tom Rick.
Oh, okay. But that's the pie list as well.
Oh, you didn't tell
you
me.
You almost gypped Rick out of his chance to win
not
a free
intentional,
pie.
Rick.
Now you're writing it down again.
I'm putting pie list at the top of it because this is the first I've heard that my notes are the official pie list.
Yes, your notes are the official pie list. One thing I want to mention because I run into this.
Tom, you're still there, correct?
Nope, Tom hung up.
Okay.
See the little red thing?
Oh, you got the lights over
there.
Yeah,
I get the lights.
You can see the lights.
All right. Did you need him for a minute?
No, I just didn't want to be rude and have him hanging on the line and not talk to him.
No, he got off.
Okay.
So he's gone.
All right.
One thing I want to point out, because I run into this a lot in the nature of my business, running into a lot of young couples, here again is a perfect reason of why we say estate planning isn't just for the rich, it's not for the wealthy, it's not just for when you necessarily pass away. Way, it's to put together a plan for anyone. If you have children, you really need to now have a will. It's not just because so many people think, oh, if I pass away, my wife is going to get everything, or if my wife passes away, I'm going to get everything. We own everything jointly, everything will be fine. What if something happened to both of you? Or if you're a single parent, what if something happened to just you? Who is going to take care of your minor children? And I often tell people, just imagine the worst possible family member you can think of raising your kids. And that's probably who the judge is going to choose.
Okay.
So if you don't have a will, and as Pete said, you're really nominating in the will, and to me, only if the courts can find a good reason not to grant guardianship to the person you named, that person's going to be named.
Yes, and
but
that's accurate.
If you don't put someone down in a will, the courts are going to decide, and they don't know your family. They don't know who the psycho uncle is or the crazy aunt is, and that's probably the one who's going to be raising your kids. So make sure you have a will. It doesn't matter if you have hundreds of thousands of dollars or 10 bucks in the bank. You got kids. And those kids need you. And just because you're not there doesn't mean you can't help them. And you're going to help them by naming in your will who's going to raise them if the good Lord decides your time to go home is now.
Brilliant.
And I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And usually that's the first time
say that
we
again?
See folks.
What'd you just
said
say?
Usually.
No, before that.
Oh,
before.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Want me to say it again? And did I mention you're modest as well?
I am humble.
But you're absolutely right. And that's usually where we see people for the first time in the estate planning world is to come in and get a guardian for the children. Now, they may not do anything with their will for another 10, 15, 20 years.
But at least they named a guardian.
Yes, and that's really important.
Exactly. And you got to do this with the legal documents, people. I don't have kids. If I did, I would name a guardian. I got a dog.
Well, you know.
And I got a friend who's going to take care of my dog.
Okay, that's good. Because we're doing more and more with pets.
Mm-hmm.
And having guardians, or actually with pets, it's more ownership, except in Boulder County where you're a guardian for your pet. But naming people that in the event of incapacity, in the event of death, who's going to take care of these pets? You're very close to them, and actually I've done a number of trusts for pets.
Right, with the assets to take care of the pet.
Yes, exactly.
So my friend doesn't get any money. He just gets my dog.
Okay. Well, that should be enough.
I'm going to give his wife everything.
Okay.
That's what I keep telling him. Keep it up. You get the dog. Your wife gets everything else.
Yep. Okay. I'm sure he's okay with it.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. But what is the third question
now? Okay, this is going to be a little more difficult, and this may require a lifeline to Google. But
but still three answers, three guesses.
We got four on this one.
Oh, wow. You're really up in the odds here.
Yeah, this is going to be very, very difficult without Google anyway. What does it mean to die intestate? Intestate. And A, dying without a will. Is the first answer. B, dying in a state other than your home state. C, dying without any significant assets. Or D, all of the above.
Ooh, I hate the all and above answers.
Yeah, that's tough. So what does the word intestate mean? You die without a will, or you die in a state other than your home state, or C, dying without any significant assets, or all of the above.
That would be D.
That would be all D, above. And according to the alphabet that I'm familiar with.
Correct. Okay, so what does the word intestate mean? We have 1 minute left, so if somebody wants to call, that would be great. And the number is 970-353-1310. Or if you are calling long distance and you want to send the dime to KFKA, dial 877-353-1310. What does the word intestate mean? Dying without a will. Dying in a state other than your home state. So that would be someone in Colorado, maybe being eaten by a grizzly in Wyoming.
There you go.
D, or C rather, dying without significant assets, or D, all of the above. We have to go to a quick break now, so I want people to think of that and quickly Google intestate and get on the phone, 970-353-1310, to win yourself a Fat Albert's pie. Also, when we come back, we're going to lead in with the number two song in America 40 years ago this week. It is a repeat. We've heard it before. The number two song insists, in the lyrics, insists that a gentleman keeps a picture of his ex on the wall only to hide a nasty stain. That's it. There's no other reason he has her picture on the wall except to hide a nasty stain. That's the hint.
That doesn't help.
Oh, it will when you hear the song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you got it made. I'm not in love, no, no.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. You are listening to the number two song in America 40 years ago this week as we enter the last hour, last half of today's show, live show. We call it Are You Smarter Than an Old Guy? Is the old guy reference to you, by the way? Or?
Well, you're the one that came up with the name. I'm going to have to ask you, but be careful.
I'm taking the pimp. But that was the number two song in America 40 years ago this week. The hint was, remember, the song is about hanging a picture on a wall of his ex, and he's telling her it's only on the wall to hide a stain. What is that? Do you want to go with the song, or do you want to go with the singer first?
Well, it doesn't matter since it was the number two last week as well.
So you remember.
I do. I do have some memory left.
You do have a memory.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
So why don't you tell our listeners both?
I'm Not in Love. I think it is, and it's 10cc.
10cc, I'm Not in Love. Excellent. Yeah. That is the number two song in America 40 years ago this week. We're doing it as we lead into the number one song in America, which will be in the next segment, and we do that all as part of our our update on what's new on Help with MySocialSecurity.com. We also have a listener patiently waiting, so I want to jump into her, so I'm talking a little bit fast. Her name is Mary. She's calling, and I'm assuming it's either because you have a question, Mary, or you actually have an answer to Pete's trivia question. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And do you have a question or an answer or both?
I have an answer.
You have an answer.
I hope it's the right one.
Well, I do too.
Well, we do too. Pete is going to repeat the question and give you your answers, and then we're going to let you guess.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready, Mary? It's
yes.
What does it mean to die intestate? A, dying without a will. B, dying in a state other than your home state. C, dying without any significant assets. And D, all of the above.
I'm guessing dying without a will.
You're absolutely right. Very good.
You have amazing knowledge of music. Love this show.
Why, thank you. And you love the host as well, right?
You bet.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you, Mary. Did you know that or did you have to Google it?
I think I knew it.
Very good.
Excellent.
Holy,
excellent.
Even better.
Even better.
Yes,
even better.
Very good. So,
do you have a question for Pete while we have him and you on the phone at the same time?
Probably a lot, but right now I'm getting ready to go to work. So
okay.
I don't have time to think.
Okay.
No problem, Mary. But we do thank you for playing along. Your name is in a drawing, Mary, and you may very well win your own free Fat Albert's pie at the end of this month. So keep listening. I'm not sure what day is the pie giveaway day, but it's towards the end of August, and we will give a pie away.
Good. Mary, thanks for calling.
And once again, a great show.
Oh, well,
thank you, Mary.
Very
thank you very much. Okay, why don't you talk a little bit about what that means, Pete, because people do ignore wills and pass away without a will, but it's not necessarily that they don't have a will. It's that they didn't write their will. The state they live in wrote the will.
Exactly. And every state has that. They're called intestacy laws, which refers to dying without a will. That's where the word intestate. So if you die with a will, it's called testate. So obviously, so intestate, without. And so every state has written a will for its citizens in the event that they haven't written their own will. And sometimes it is what you want, and sometimes it's not. For example, one that comes to mind. Typically, it goes to who you would normally think it would. But for example, if a person's married and they die, they have no children, and they die and they haven't written their will, the default in Colorado anyway is the first $200,000 goes to the spouse. The balance of the estate is split equally between the spouse and the decedent's parents, which for young marrieds, that may come as a bit of a surprise, but that's the default if they haven't written their own will.
Now, can the parents disclaim and say, we don't want it, and they leave it all to the spouse?
They certainly can.
Or the parents can say, heck, to heck with it. I want it and take it.
Right. But they're entitled to it, and so that's the default. And that's generally not what the decedent would have wanted in most cases.
They would want the spouse to get it all.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I've had conversations, young folks in programs I've done, teaching, and they'll say, well, I'm married, no kids. I don't need a will because everything goes to my spouse. Well, no, it doesn't unless they say it does.
Interesting, interesting. Okay. Well, that is dying intestate, people. That's when you pass away, the state you reside in will pretty much decide what happens to your assets if you don't have a will. And this, again, is the importance of having a will, having something in place, doing something to make sure your assets go when you want, to who you want, how you want.
And we might consider doing a show on that, just saying, okay, if this situation, where does the state say your property goes?
Now, is there a website people can go to and look at the intestacy laws of their state?
There's not, but if they want to send an email into either jimhelps.com or peterscotthelps.com, or, you know, go online there and,
right,
and submit a question. I've put together I've taken the intestacy laws and put it in a will format so you can go through there and see where things go. It's a lot easier to read than going to the statute. There may be a website. I'm not aware of it, but trying to work.
And do you have every state in this thing?
No, I just did Colorado.
Oh, just Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's a freebie giveaway for all our Colorado listeners. If anybody wants to know the intestacy laws of Colorado, get a hold of Pete, and Pete will send you out a copy of this. If you need to reach me, and we should probably talk about this, Pete, how to reach you and me.
Sure.
So if you need to reach us, you can go to the website Jim Helps. That's jimhelps.com. Click on the Meet the Team button. It's right there on the homepage, right under a photo of myself, Chris, and Justin. We don't have you on the home page. You're on the inside page.
Yeah, I'm on the show page.
Yes. But you just click Meet the Team. It's right there on the home page. Click Meet the Team, and you will see everybody there. And there is a list there for Pete. You click Pete's name. You'll see a little photo of him, and you can reach out to Pete right there. Or send me an email, jim@jimhelps.com, and we'll be happy to pass that on to Pete. But anybody in Colorado, if you want to know the intestacy laws, Pete is more than happy to share with you what he's put together. And Pete, how can people reach out to you directly if they don't want to go to jimhelps.com?
Well, they can use my website that links to our homepage, and it's Peter Scott Helps, and that's PeterScottHelps. HELPS.com, PeterScottHelps.com. And I'm with the law firm of Cohen, Payton, and Payne, and have an office in Greeley. The phone number to reach me is 970-339-3500, 970-339-3500. And we have offices in Greeley, Fort Collins, and Denver. And we offer a free complimentary consultation. So if someone comes in and they need to know more about what their options are, what they'd like to do, we're more than happy to sit down with them, meet with them, and there's no charge for that.
And that's what I find amazing. I'm not just trying to drop a dime because you and I are friends and you do the show with me. But I'm going to give kudos where kudos is deserved. I have sent people to talk with Pete, and I tell them all the same thing. Just tell them you listen to the radio show or you're a referral from me, and you don't charge for the first sit-down. I mean, you're not going to do a full estate plan for them, obviously, but attorneys usually charge for their advice and information, and you're willing to sit with people.
Sure, and my feeling is that they need to get some direction. They need to know what it's going to cost. It would be like walking into a grocery store and they're charging you an admission fee. I think until they decide they want to move forward, that there shouldn't be any fees incurred.
I agree. So that's a really nice thing that Pete offers. Of course, we in my office, we've been offering, I've been doing this for 16 years. I think about 12, 13 years ago, I started calling it a coffee and a second opinion,
right?
More so because the admins in the office bought one of them Keurig machines with more coffee pods than I could ever imagine, and it seems everybody who walked through the door wanted a cup of coffee just as much as wanted to meet with me. So we started calling it a coffee and a second opinion, but we also offer in my practice, you're more than welcome to come in and chat about your IRAs, your retirement, your Social Security. So many people, Pete, have so many questions about these topics. Because they're not taught these items in school, and it confuses people. And people think they sometimes have the information correct, and they don't quite have it down. That's one of the reasons I enjoy these trivia shows. We did one recently again. We call it Are You Smarter Than a Young American? Because young Americans were given a very simple financial test, and the majority failed. Our listeners proved themselves and were actually smarter than a young American. They did quite well.
They did.
The other recent one we did was Are You Smarter Than a Financial Advisor? We talked about how I am in the Ed Slot program for IRA training. This is a optional program that I've been in for over 6 years now. I spend a lot of time, effort, and money making sure I fully understand IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457 plans, how they work, the special rules regarding them, the tax rules, the legality rules, beneficiary rules. I study all this. And the Ed Slot program people wanted to just simply see how smart are financial advisors out there. And they gave a test to 500 financial advisors who identified themselves as knowledgeable or very knowledgeable on IRAs. And they found the vast majority, 83%, failed.
Yeah.
It was nuts. But our listeners, in defense of them, did pretty darn good. There were a couple of questions they got tricked on. But for the most part, the very first caller was guessing these answers.
Yeah.
Questions that these people who are being paid to give you advice were getting wrong. And that's why we do these trivia shows, people. We want to educate you. It's not just a matter of giving you the question and tricking you. We don't want to trick you. We want to help you understand how these rules work and why it's important to have a working knowledge of your finances. They don't teach it to us in school, so we're trying to teach it to you over the radio. But we both offer our services for hire. Yes, we are businessmen. And if people need to meet with us and you're not quite sure you want to meet with us or you just got a quick question, both Pete and myself are willing to meet with you complimentary the first time. So go to jimhelps.com or peterscotthelps.com and you can move forward from there. Okay, that was a long commercial.
Yep, goodness. Sure.
Okay, so what is the fourth question on are you smarter than an old guy?
Okay, so this has to do with gifts. So I think everybody's aware
you brought me a gift?
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did it for my birthday last month.
No, it's in the mail.
I want to point out, 2 weeks ago, still no gift.
Well, it's in the mail.
Not even a cake?
No, I didn't bring you a cake. But you had a cake. You were kind of complaining about the cake, as I recall.
No, I didn't complain. It was good. There was thoughts and heart behind it, but I noticed nothing from certain people.
Oh, okay. I'll make a note of that. I'll also remind you when my birthday comes up, and we'll see how that works.
Okay.
All right. So
right now, I would say it's nothing. What goes around comes around, Mr. Scott.
You know, I might be okay with that, I think. Anyway, this has to do with gifting. So I think everyone's aware that there is an amount that we can give away each year without any sort of gift tax or impact on it. This year it happened, and it was last year too, it happens to be $14,000. It started out at 10 when they implemented this particular provision, but it's up to $14,000 that we can give away tax-free to anyone we want. So the question is, what is the maximum amount that you and your spouse can give to your married son and his wife for a down payment on their home without having to file a gift tax return or pay a gift tax? So what's the maximum amount that you and your spouse can give to your son and your son's wife for the down payment on their first home without having any tax impact?
A little bit of moving parts here. So how much can a person essentially give to two people?
Well, maybe. That's part of the question.
Because there was a son and a wife, you said.
Yes.
You made that perfectly clear twice.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Without having to pay any gift tax or file a gift tax return.
Right.
Now, the people giving the money, is it one person or two?
How much can you and your spouse
give? Wow, this is getting to be a deep math question here, Pete.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're going deep on it. So the choices are A, $56,000, B, $14,000, C, $28,000, D, $102,000. So
I'm going to choose that you can give me personally, Pete, D.
D, $102,000.
You may. I'm going to let you.
I will take that under consideration and just watch your mail.
You'll redeem yourself for missing my birthday should you give me that $102,000.
All right. Well, and
what is more important to you, redeeming yourself in my eyes or having $102,000 in your bank account?
Oh, let me think about that for about a second.
Apparently, I'm not going to get $102,000, am I?
Well, you might. It won't clear, but you know, maybe I'll write you the check. So the answers to potential answers are A, $56,000, B, $14,000, C, $28,000, D, $102,000.
Essentially, how much can two people give to two people?
Perhaps.
Well, I'm just trying to make it easy for our listeners. That's a tough question there.
They're smart enough to get this.
Well, you confuse them. Because you confuse me at times.
Well, that's then my work here is done.
We have a listener. We are waiting for Micah to enter the information. But we are going to encourage anybody who wants to take a gander on this. He's given you one question. Four answers. Everybody who calls will get a free treatment to the Mosquito Authority, and they will come treat your home and keep it mosquito-free. That's anyone who calls gets that. Anybody who calls and guesses the answer right, and right now you'll have a 0.25% chance, 25% chance of getting it right because there's only four guesses. Anyone who guesses right, their name will be entered into a drawing for free Fat Albert's pie the end of this month, which, as we pointed out repeatedly, would give you ample opportunity to have a pie for Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it would.
Not Memorial Day.
Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Yep.
Okay. So we do have our first guinea pig. We have Ron from Fort Lupton on the phone. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
That's great.
I'm going to try to summarize the question. Pete's going to give you the guesses again, and then we're going to let you go. Essentially, you got two people wanting to give money to two other people. How much can they give away in a year without having to file a gift tax return or pay taxes on it?
So the answer.
Spouse,
Oh, wait. He just guessed right off the
bat. Ron, what did you say?
56,000.
You're absolutely right. And tell us how you calculated that.
Well, each parent can give each child 14,000. So that's 14, 56.
Your math is impeccable. Very good. So did you knew that off the top of your head, I take it?
Yeah.
Well, good. That's wonderful. So
I thought this was going to be a tough one.
Yeah, Jim was all...
I was shooting for the 102 for me.
But then I'd have to file a gift tax return, and I don't want to do that.
Ron, thank you very much. Do you have a question for either of us while we have you on the phone, or you just want to get into the pie drawing?
I'm done.
You're done.
I'm
all right.
Thank you much.
Hopefully you're not done permanently, but you're done for this segment of today.
Okay.
Ron, thanks so much. Ron. We appreciate it. So let me just kind of expand on that.
Yeah, why don't you expand on that a little?
Because I get this question often. People say, well, how much can I give without having to pay any gift tax? And, well, the annual exclusion per recipient is $14,000, as this question really was designed to show, so that the husband can give $14,000 to the son and $14,000 to the daughter-in-law for a total of $28,000. The other spouse can do the same, and as Ron pointed out, 28 and 28 is 56. So that's how we get to that number. But what is also missed very often is that in addition to the $14,000 per year per recipient that can be given away, each of us has the ability to give away during our lifetime or whatever's left at our death of $5.43 million. Now, so basically we have $14,000 per year plus for our lifetime another $5.43 million.
I want to rescind my request for 102 and increase it, please, to $5.43 million.
Well, since only 0.3% of the people in the United States have that much money, you need to find another co-host.
And that's something new, not the new co-host, but that's something new because prior to that, gifting money was very difficult. And years ago, not too far into the past, if you gave away to your kids, grandkids, friends, more than a rather low amount of money, a very low hurdle was about $600,000, wasn't it, at one point?
Well, yes, for the lifetime, yes.
Correct. If you gave away more than that, you, not the recipient of the gift, you would have to pay a tax of almost 50% of whatever you gave away.
That's correct.
And that was called the gift tax. Everybody pays attention to the estate tax. They just don't know. Not only is the government going to tax it if you die, they're going to tax it if you live and have the audacity to want to share it with someone else.
That's correct.
So I'm glad they changed the law. They made the gift tax and the estate tax unified now, so it's equal in amount. And it's
5.43, and it's not that it's equal. It is the same exemption.
The same exemption.
So, for example, assuming that I was that wealthy, if I gave $1 million away to Jim on his birthday—
Which you didn't do, I might want to point out.
Let's make it accurate. $1,014,000 to Jim on his birthday, then the $14,000 would fall under the annual exclusion of the $14,000 we've been talking about, but the million would mean that at my death, instead of having 5.43, I would have 4.43 because anything I give away over the $14,000 reduces my lifetime exemption so that my death I have what's left to apply against my assets as they pass.
But you will not have to pay taxes on that gift, whereas years ago you would have to.
That's correct.
And today they made these limits so high that it impacts, as Pete said, just 0.3% of the population. So pretty much most of the people listening to us today, if not all of them, are not going to fall victim to this. But years ago, people, it was a huge issue, even for middle-class people, being hit with having to give the government half of the value of a gift that they wanted to give their kids or grandkids. And it was a terrible, terrible rule, and I'm glad they changed it. And I'm glad they made these limits so high you're not going to be impacted by them anymore. And it did change your business model, Pete, and the business model of many estate planning attorneys greatly when this happened, because prior to changing these laws and making it easier for people to share their wealth with family members or anybody they wanted to, you had to use some unique strategies using trusts and things of that nature in order to give money away. We won't get into those strategies anymore because they for the most part aren't used, but you had to hire high-priced attorneys just to be able to give your money away. And that to me was shocking, that the government felt just because you wanted to share your money, share some of your wealth, share your good graces that you have accomplished with family members, you had to give half of it to the government. And I just thought that was patently outrageous. And I'm glad it was changed. But to this day, there are politicians who want to repeal that and go back to the old way and start taking your money if, God forbid, you want to give it to someone.
Well, and keep in mind, this is money that you've already paid income tax on if you've earned it. And so that's been the argument. It's a double taxation. It's really more of a redistribution of wealth is what's going on with this.
It is. It's taken from those who have and given it to those who don't want to do anything. But it just – don't get me going. My libertarianism is going to start coming out. But I'm glad they changed the rules, because I just thought it was so unfair that the government wanted to take people's money if they wanted to give it away and help other people. Now, they always had an exemption for education and medical if you paid the service providers directly. But outside of that, if you wanted to give a house to a child, if you wanted to just give them some money to start a business, nope, can't do it.
Right. And actually, for my practice, and I think a lot of the attorneys that practice the way I do, it's a great relief. Now we don't have to go through these agonizing twists and turns to avoid estate tax. We can really talk to people about what's important to them. That is, how do we protect them and their children? How do we protect against a catastrophic illness, the expense and costs of that? How do we plan for the child that may be incapable of managing money correctly, or may be disabled, or may have an addiction, things like that?
So you can do true human planning and not just try to worry about how do we help people keep money out of the hands of the government.
Exactly.
Okay, so Wonderful. Well, that brings us to question five on today's test. I don't know, Mike is holding two. What does two fists mean, Micah? Oh, break. Two fists apparently mean break.
Good. You're just a radio.
Oh, he's bending them as if he's breaking something.
I
was holding two fists up. I didn't know what he was doing. All right, I'm engineer today, folks, because Chris isn't here, so I don't know these hand signals. So when we come back in the final segment of today's show, we're going to have more questions. We're going to have an update on what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And, of course, we're going to lead in with the number one song in America 40 years ago this week. I predicted last week when this was the number one song, it was going to be here for a heck of a long time. And I'm still standing by that prediction. Here are the hints. It's sung by three brothers, all from Australia. I'm not quite sure if they were friends with Olivia Newton-John or not. But three brothers. And the name of the song was originally called, this is going to make this really difficult hint, Drive Talking. But when they actually sang it, they came out with a different name than Drive Talking. But that will be the number one song in America 40 years ago this week when we come back. Yeah. Sorry, folks, I was reading. I didn't realize I had a lead in. Poor Micah. Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. You can see why I don't do the command chair too often.
Yes, we can. It's very evident.
Well, I'm always reading and learning, so I was reading and learning.
You're doing a better job than
listening to the music, thinking, oh, cool, okay.
I like that song.
Okay, well, this is the Retirement and IRA Show, believe it or not, and that was the number one song in America 40 years ago this week. We do that as a lead into what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. Chris, why don't you lead in with what the name of the song is and then the singers?
Well, since Chris isn't here, I'll go ahead and answer that. You'd ask Chris to answer that question. Unless he calls in, he's not going to be able to. You called me Chris.
Did I?
Yes, as you often do.
I'm sorry. Wow, I am really screwing up today. Peter.
It's not the first time that you've mixed up the name, so no problem. Okay. So the name of the song is not Drive Talking, but Jive Talking.
Jive Talking.
Talking, I think it is, not talking. But
I don't understand why they would have went with Drive Talking. Yeah, I'm glad they changed it.
I am too, because it's really – I mean – you see someone driving down I-25. Of course,
they drive and talk.
Yeah, the drive talking could be talking to the other drivers around him, and that would not be a very pleasant thing to hear.
But, and who are the singers?
The Bee Gees.
Brother Gibbs, yes. Yep.
So we got that.
And I have a feeling, because this is 75, we're in 1975 now, 35 years ago, and that was right when Saturday Night Fever was at its pinnacle.
Yeah.
And this song, I'm just predicting, I don't know, is going to be number one for quite some time. And then there'll be more after this. Yeah. They had a lot of hits from that album.
I'm still liking it, even though it's been on, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. But maybe by the time it's there 6 or 7, I'll get pretty tired of it.
Well, it's kind of like that song with Minnie Rupert or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Minnie Ruperton?
Yes.
Just that whiny...
Yeah. Well, this isn't. Well, they're high pitched, but it's got a great beat. I like it.
And what was Minnie singing again? Loving You.
Loving You.
God, I won't try singing that. I'll spare our listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was like number one for decades.
Yeah, she was.
I mean, she was up there for a while, and it started to grate on our nerves.
Yes, it did.
But anyways, why do we do this? Well, we do this because we want to lead into what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. This is a blog post that Chris and I started in April of last year. We're pleased to say it's a very popular blog. We have a lot of readers and listeners, because the blog post is written and audio. So write and talk about the topic.
Wow.
So you can listen or read. Choice is yours. Or do both. You can read, then listen. Or listen
or
first,
read,
then read.
Or read along.
Or read while we're listening. So it's a pretty good blog. We like it because we like teaching people the tips, tricks, and strategies of Social Security optimization. Social Security is, for better or worse, we like Social Security. And it is going to be one of the major sources of what we call secure income in your retirement. This is income that you don't have to worry about. You know, we try not to get caught up in all the politicization of Social Security and all the naysayers saying, oh, they're going to cut it. They're going to take your money. It's not going to be there. Don't rely on it. Social Security is got a lot of problems. I'm going to be the first to admit that. But it is going to be one of the largest streams of secure income, what we call the safety and security of your paycheck. Income, Pete, that's going to come every month, whether the market is up, whether the Federal Reserve is cutting interest rates, raising interest rates, rather whether or not there's a major headline news event that's causing stocks to tank, or the economy's in recession, or if everything is great, it doesn't matter. Things are going to continue. Your checks are going to come. We like Social Security. We like secure income. However, so many people don't understand Social Security, and they file incorrectly, and that's why we have the blog. We want people to know and learn the tips, tricks, and strategies. So, why do we use the 40 years, or excuse me, looking back over songs from 1975? Well, that was 40 years ago. As I said in the first part of the show, Social Security used to look back 40 years when it first started. It doesn't do it anymore. That's causing a little bit of confusion, so we'll have to address that in the future. But what is new this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com? Originally, when Chris told me he wanted to blog on this, I thought, boring. But it was his turn to write it. So I says, I don't care, but it's boring. However, as I read what he wrote, I haven't listened to his audio blog, but when I read what he wrote, I thought, oh, heck, this isn't boring at all. What it is the trustee report that comes out every year. Social Security has a group of trustees. Their job is to monitor Social Security and report to the government and to the public the health of Social Security. Some really big things they reported on. First, they're saying the trust fund should last till 2034. Now, let me make it perfectly clear. Those of you, even those Al Gore supporters, when he used to say the lockbox, I can't do an Al Gore voice, but he used to talk about when he was running for president, Social Security lockbox. There is no lockbox. They took all our money and spent it. Okay? I just gave kudos to Social Security, the program I like. The idiots in Washington who run it, called politicians, called Congress and the president, nah, I'm not too big a fan of them because they spent it all. They took money from us, allegedly put it in a Social Security trust fund. Well, they just can't leave money sitting there. It's like putting a marshmallow in front of a two-year-old. That marshmallow ain't going to last very long. When you put money in front of a politician, it isn't going to last very long. They want to spend it, a.k.a. buy someone's vote. That's all they're trying to do. So they took that money and they spent it all. So now the Social Security trust fund is a bunch of IOUs. Well, what the trustees have reported is they are now knee-deep into the IOUs. Mm-hmm. They no longer take in more money than they pay out. That gravy train is over. Yeah. That gravy train has passed. That boat has sailed. Any other euphemism you want to use?
No, you're good.
I got it?
Yeah. Cool. You got them all right, too, by the way.
I did well.
Yes.
Okay. So that is gone. They are now redeeming the IOUs. I just want to point out to people, the U.S. government is bankrupt. We borrow more than we take in. So as Social Security starts redeeming these worthless IOUs, in other words, they start handing the IOUs to the U.S. Treasury, I got news for you people, we don't have the money. So the government has to go out now and borrow money just to replace the money that they've already spent so Social Security can give it to us. That's the problem with Social Security in a nutshell. But what the trustees have said is that we are officially, because of the great amount of Americans who are now retiring, we are paying out more than we are getting in, and that is estimated to last quite some time. That was the first thing they said. The other thing, now those of you collecting Social Security, you best all sit down. Okay, you should all be sitting down by now, because what I'm about to tell you is going to tick you off. Social Security trustees have said, prepare for the strong likelihood, notice they're still waffling a little, that there will be no cost of living increase in 2016.
Wow.
So they said because of the steep drop in energy prices, there will most likely be no increase in Social Security payments in 2016. Remember, they didn't give you one in 2010. They didn't give you one in 2011. And now they're prepping everyone to say there's no inflation. Apparently, they don't buy groceries or go out to dinner at some of the places I go out to dinner at. But they are saying more likely than not, they're not sure yet, there will be no cost of living increase. Okay. They also said the Social Security Disability Program, which was started later as a way – unfortunately now, there are some people, Pete, who are truly disabled. Mm-hmm. But the Social Security Disability Program has become so rife with fraud and corruption, and so many people who aren't disabled are filing for benefits. So many attorneys who, quote-unquote, specialize in this are getting people covered who are not disabled. They're going to run out of money next year.
Oh, boy.
So nobody knows what they're going to do about that. So the Social Security Disability Program is scheduled to run out of money. And in 2014, last year, they have the official numbers, 166 million people paid into Social Security, 59 million people received benefits. That means 2.8 people paid in for every one person receiving benefits. By the end of this decade, that ratio would be down to 2 to 1. And by the next decade, 1 to 1. And that's where it's going to start getting ugly,
yeah.
Where you're going to have one retiree totally dependent on one worker to provide their income. So Social Security is in trouble. That I'm not going to dispute, but I like the program. And they need to, quote unquote, fix it.
Yeah.
And that means everyone's going to have to give and take a little. I don't feel they should come, and they won't, come after people already collecting. But I think those who are not collecting will see some of the things changed a little. But anyways, that's what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. It's a very good blog post that Chris wrote. And if anybody wants to read it, go to helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. Okay. How'd I do on that?
I thought you did very well. It was interesting.
Thank you. I'm a little ticked off on the no cost of living increase, though.
Well, I agree.
And that's one thing we have to constantly get people to understand. You may have a pension. You may have Social Security. You may even have annuity. All those incomes early in your retirement may cover a lot of your expenses. But retirees, because retirees pay a disproportionate amount of their income to medical and housing. And when I say housing, people, I'm talking long-term care. I'm talking the price you have to pay to elder-proof your home, as we call it, or elder-enable your home. We did that for my grandparents. Well, we didn't do it, but my grandparents had to hire people to come redo their bathroom so they could stay in their home longer. Many people have to hire people to come take care of them in their home. All these expenses we lump into housing and long-term care, because as we age, we slow down, we need help, and you sometimes have to hire people to help you. But because retirees pay a lot into or pay a lot of their income towards medical, which goes up about 6-6.5% a year, and into housing, which includes long-term care, and the fact that Medicare, everybody thinks, Pete, well, once I get to 65, government's going to take care of me. They're going to give me Social Security. They're going to take care of my health care. I got news for you. Medicare has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. Medicare, for all intent and purposes, if you fully understand how the program works, is about a 62-38 plan. What does that mean? The government pretty much picks up 62% of your medical costs. You have to pick up the other 38, plus pay premiums for that privilege. So you have to buy Medigap coverage. You have to buy and pay for, because Medicare does not cover dental. It does not cover vision. It does not cover hearing. It does not cover long-term care or nursing home care. You got to pay for all that. And even what it does cover, it has deductibles and co-pays. So it costs you money. And as we age, we put more and more and more of a demand on health care. So even though the government is going to have the audacity to tell you your prices didn't rise in 2016, we're not giving you a pay raise in Social Security, the reality is those of you who are paying for medical care, you're seeing your costs go up. Those of you who are paying for people to come take care of you in your home, you're seeing those costs go up. And those of you who actually eat, you're seeing those costs go up far faster than the zero the government is going to say COLA is. Now, again, the trustees just – they kind of floated what we call a lead balloon. Hey, let's see how this goes over. And they kind of went out and said, we don't think we're going to give you a pay raise. But they won't know till the end of the third quarter, which will be June, July, August it would be June for March, April, May, June, July, September. The end of September is when they'll make the determination. And they do it at the end of the third quarter. So okay. Anyways, that's coming, folks. Just wanted to let you know.
Good.
So let's get into the last question, more likely than not. How many minutes do we have left, Micah? 10.
Well, okay. Well, we can do this.
Your clock says 14 minutes left.
Well, that's because I don't – no, that's not left. That's how long we've been at this since the break.
Wow. 15 minutes already, huh?
Yeah. You short-winded today.
I can opine for crazy. Okay. So we got 10 minutes left. That gives us another question, people, to play along with on are you smarter than an old guy, otherwise known as estate planning trivia?
Yes. Okay. So this one is kind of interesting. So the question is – how much can Bill Gates leave his wife free of estate taxes? So how much can he leave his wife at his death that he doesn't owe any estate tax on?
Just to his wife.
Just to his wife.
Not to anyone else.
Not to anyone else.
Not to radio show host in Greeley, Colorado.
No, but he's called me, and he wanted to get your contact information to put
nice.
That in.
So all right.
There may be an option here.
With all the Microsoft junk I've purchased over the years, the guy should give me something.
He mentioned that.
Okay.
And how loyal a customer you've been. So the choices are A, $5.43 million, B, $6 million, C, $50 million, D, $100 million. So how much can Bill Gates leave his wife free of estate taxes at his death? $5.43 million, $6 million, $50 million, $100 million.
Okay.
So
that's just to his wife.
That's just to his wife, nobody else, not even to Jim. So maybe after she's gone, he's got a little something in there for you.
We shall see. Okay, interesting question. How much can Bill Gates leave his wife without paying estate tax?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
All right. We have a caller, and Mike is painstakingly getting this caller's info.
That was quick.
That was quick. Yeah. Someone. Maybe it's Bill Gates himself.
Well, that could be. He often listens. I know
or his
that.
Wife wondering how much she's going to get.
Exactly. Melinda, by the way, is her name, as I understand. So.
Okay, right. Here comes the name of the caller.
Yeah, we patiently wait.
As we wait for Micah to type, type slow. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we have a repeat caller, I think. I think we've dealt with Bill in LaSalle. Bill, are you with us today?
No, I haven't been with you yet today.
Oh, not today, but you've called in the past, I think, right?
Yes, I've even won a pie once.
Oh, you won a pie once. Good. All right, well, Bill. What kind of pie did you get, by the way?
Oh, I think I got an apple pie.
Apple pie. Okay, that's the old standby.
I like fruit pies.
You can't beat a fruit pie. Fruit pies are good. Fruit pies are good. Okay, Bill, I'm going to have Pete repeat the question to you before you guess your answer. Pete, go ahead and repeat the question.
How much can Bill Gates, at his death, leave his wife that there is no estate tax due on it? A is $5.43 million, B, $6 million, C, $50 million, D, $100 million. And Bill, what do you say?
Well, I hadn't heard the question before because I got on with Micah and I didn't actually hear the question.
Oh, you were just calling out of the blue. Did you have a question for us?
No. I assumed that Bill Gates, being Bill Gates, that he could leave everything to his wife.
Well, he can, but how much can he leave without paying a state tax on that?
I'll go with that. What was it, 5.43?
The 5.43 was the first answer.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, Bill, I'm sorry, but that is incorrect.
Okay.
And so we'll hang in there, though. You're going to get a free mosquito treatment, and we'll see if someone else, the numbers are narrowed down after that. But we appreciate you calling and for giving it a shot.
Yep, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So I've got a beef with that question.
Okay, what's your beef?
All right. People, I'm going to come to your rescue here. Not necessarily Bill. I knew Bill was wrong. But everyone else who's ready to call, get ready to call because I'm going to give you the answer. Isn't there an answer that's missing technically from there?
Technically, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because it's a little misleading because I don't think any of those are answers.
Well.
I think they're all wrong.
Well, they could be, but. Depends on his net worth. Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I think one of the answers, hint, people, I think one of the answers should be however much he wants.
Oh, okay. All right. So
let's add that to the list. So, and anybody who calls, I'm not going to tell you which answer to choose. So let's add that to the list. So what are our answer choices now?
Now they are $6 million, $50 million, $100 million, or however much he wants.
Okay. So I'm not going to tell listeners which answer to choose. It's all up to you. But I kind of like the one I threw out there. And then Pete will explain why.
So it seems to me that someone has a free entry into the drawing if they punch in the
correct
numbers.
I don't know because there's technically the answer you were looking for, and I know where you were going with that, but I don't like that answer.
You don't like the choices.
I don't like the choice. I know where you were going with it, but I don't like the choices. I like a different answer better that might be listed there.
Well, that got recently added to the –
Recently added to the list.
Yes.
So, again, we need someone to call to play along with this. Humor us. 970-530-055. Oh, no, that was my office number. Don't call that. No one's there. What the heck's the number here, Micah? Help me out.
353.
There it is. 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Or those of you who want to send the dime to KFKA, dial 877-353-1310. We need someone to call and guess the answer here. And that way, because I want Pete to opine on this a little bit, because I had an issue with that.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but out of the answers that were available, what would be the correct answer? But now that we've added yet another answer.
That may or may not be the answer.
Yeah, may not be, so be careful.
And anyone who calls and guesses this, their name will be entered into a drawing for a pie.
Yeah, it sounds
pretty damn good. I think, a little easy for that one.
Well, I think so.
All right. We have someone who's going to go out on a limb here, I am sure. We have Kathy in Greeley. Kathy, are you with us this morning?
I sure am.
All right. Now, you don't necessarily have to take the answer that your oh-so-humble host added to the list, but he is telling you, pick that answer. Okay, so Pete, go through the answers again.
Okay, this is how much can Bill Gates leave to his wife at his death without any estate tax? And the remaining answers, plus the addition, are $6 million, $50 million, $100 million, or however much he wants. And Kathy, what would be your answer?
$100 million.
Oh, Kathy. No, I'm sorry. Well,
no, that was your answer.
That is the correct answer I had.
Not the correct answer I wanted.
Yeah, but she gets entered into the drawing.
I'm going to give it to her. I'm going to give it to her because, Kathy, I'm glad you called because we want to teach on this, not just have fun and make fools of ourselves, which we kind of do every week. What we want people to know and what I want people to know is, yes, you are technically right, Kathy, because that was the highest number on Pete's list. You see, a spouse can leave an unlimited amount to another spouse and not pay estate taxes.
That's right. So there is no limit on transfers either during life or at death between spouses with one exception, which we'll cover in just a few minutes. But
Bill, we only have two.
Oh, we only have 2 minutes. So the one exception is that the spouse has to be a U.S. citizen. That is not the giving spouse, but the receiving spouse has to be a U.S. citizen, and there is a tax on transfers between husband and wife if the recipient is a non-citizen. And in that case, it would be limited to $147,000 as a lifetime gift, and as a death gift, it's treated as though they are not a spouse and would be limited to the $5.43 million. Okay. In that case, Bill would have been correct if he'd have said it was going to a non-citizen spouse.
Right, but what we're trying to get you, Kathy, and our listeners to understand, and the reason why I wanted to add any amount he wants, it truly is, unless you marry someone who's not a U.S. citizen, it truly is an unlimited amount one spouse can leave another spouse.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to get at.
Referred to as the unlimited marital deduction. Kathy,
okay.
Thank you very much.
All righty. I think there's someone who wants to talk to you on the phone. I don't know, but we'll find out in a minute. But I do want to thank everyone. This was a fast 2 hours on the Retirement and IRA Show. We will be back next week. I don't know if we're live or not next week. We got to figure this all out. But we will be back next week either with another live show or a pre-recorded show. Thank you for playing along. Have a wonderful Saturday. It's beautiful out there. And once again, this was the Retirement and IRA Show.
Like what you just heard? Missed some of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.